This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Roshan and Noel. 7:18 in the morning, Monday the 21st of September. And in around about half an hour, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Oi Sun, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs, on the upcoming Sabah state elections. But in the meantime, we're taking a look at what's happening in the informal sector.
Yes, the pandemic has hit workers in the informal employment and those without standard employment. And this is typically understood as those that fall outside the legal labour framework and regulatory mechanisms. And basically, they have less safety or social protection. This is something that's not new. We've been talking about this for some time. Now, according to official government statistics, though, Malaysia's informal sector accounts for 8% or 8.3% of the workforce, which seems relatively low. But a paper from Khazanah Research Institute basically says that the size of the informal sector is actually larger than that figure suggests, closer to 17% in 2019.
So for some insight into the research, this morning we're speaking with Hawati Abdul Hamid, Senior Research Associate at the Khazanah Research Institute and one of the co-authors of the report. Hawati, thank you so much for joining us. Now, first off, how should we understand the difference between an informal and a non-standard worker?
In short, I would say that an easier way to understand these two types of employment is that informal workers refers to workers working with unregistered firm, and they normally have lack of social protection. On the other hand, non-standard employment would refer to those without full-time job. But really, I think all these definitions and can be sound a bit technical and confusing, but the idea is really to understand the condition of our employment or our workforce beyond the standard headline measures such as unemployment rate and labor force participation. What it means here that besides quantitative measure, we should also be concerned about the quality of job, the condition that our workers are working in, and whether they are having decent pay, good working condition, right at work, and so on and so forth.
Hawati, how would you assess the state of informal work in Malaysia?
Okay, currently in Malaysia, the way informality is measured is by adopting what we call firm-based definition, whereby workers who are working with unregistered firm can be considered as informal workers. Using this definition, what official statistics shows is that the extent of informality in our economy is about 8.3% out of total employment, or it's only about 2.6 million of our workforce. But internationally, there have been like push by ILO to actually move from just this narrow definition of informality to go in terms of adapting worker-based informality, whereby employment arrangement is not only subject to national labor law and tax policy, but if they are also not covered by social protection system and they do not get entitlement for certain kind of benefit, these experiences is something that they want to be captured also as part of informality. So in our paper, we tried to estimate the incidence of informal employment in a broader sense, whereby we try to estimate the number of workers not participating in statutory social protection scheme, which we proxy by the participation in EPF and SOCSO system. And then what we found out is that the incidence of informality is four times higher compared to what we understand right now. For example, workers without retirement arrangement, there are about 5.9 million residing outside EPF system, and workers without work injury related protection is about 5.2 million. And the long-term trend have also shown that this kind of informality continue to persist.
Now, your paper talks about the rising number of people with precarious jobs, termed as the precariat. What accounts for the rise in the number of these precariat?
There are a few reasons why these things is taking place, because one is due to technological innovation. I mean, we've seen, like, given the rise of technology, we saw a lot of job being offered via platform, sharing economy, and now we have this term called gig workers, which it tries to promote flexibility in terms of job mobility, but a lot of the time, this flexibility and the benefit of it would accrued to high-skilled worker, but for those with low skill and lack of education, normally they tend to face this insecurity in jobs because work can be quite random and then their income can be quite irregular. That's one. Secondly, in the literature, there's also been cited that globalization and expansion of our global value chain have led to the growth of this precarious job because a lot of multinational companies have tried to outsource the work to a different location, and this normally being done via hidden or multi-party employment relationship, which are largely unrecognized under our labor law and social protection system. And thirdly, I think our country's initiative to actually promote entrepreneurship as a strategy to address unemployment rate and also to promote growth could also partly explain why there has been increase in the self-employment or one-person enterprise or small startup.
So, Hawati, in your view, what does the growing segment of the precariat show about the structure of our labour economy?
If you look from sectoral standpoint, the structure is of our economy are largely dominated by services sector. In this regard, in absolute number, the number of these precarious jobs are largely concentrated in services sector. That's one. And secondly, within this services sector, a lot of the work that being generated are what we call as traditional services, like retail, sales worker, compared to modern services like those in technology, finance, real property, and so on and so forth, where these modern services typically would offer a better pay, and then it also tend to give a higher productivity and provide a better working condition. That's one. And secondly, if we look from demographic view, undeniably, a lot of this informality or non-standard job are more prevalent among our older workers. But yet, in terms of the growth, in recent years, the growth has been faster among our younger workers. This can point to a few things, that whether our youth find it very hard to secure good employment in standard or formal sector, or they either just prefer to be flexible and work in a non-standard or regular form of job.
Self-employed Malaysians can contribute to EPF through the iSaraan scheme. What policies and measures could we consider to further enhance safety nets for the precariats?
We feel that the trend in job informalization or the persistent in non-standard job is something that we have to be aware or monitor because a lot of our social protection scheme is designed based on what we call that it relies on employer and employee relationship, whereby a lot of enforcement is being done on employer. For example, the employer has to ensure that both of them are contributing to SOCSO or EPF and so on and so forth. But the challenge is really if there's no longer this employer-employee relationship, the protection of a worker is really would depend on the awareness or voluntary participation of our workers. And Malaysia has really have taken a good step in creating this social protection for self-employed workers. And we also have expanded the coverage to foreign workers. And we also have this unemployment benefit for those who lose their job. The system is already in place. What we need to do is really to extend this coverage to make more people or more workers participate in this formal system. That's one. Secondly, I think there also have to be a more active labour market policy to, for example, if people lose job, it's really about how we can transition them to a new job and how we can help them in terms of providing training to smoothen their difficulty to move to other sector, for example, and then how we can better coordinate all the training programs that government are providing or offering to our workers, and how we can better match job between demand and supply, and it becomes easier for them.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Hawati. That was Hawati Abdulhamid, Senior Research Associate at the Khazanah Research Institute. And very worrying, the fact that that she pointed out there that the growth in the precariat, or those in these precarious jobs, has started to concentrate amongst the younger age demographics, particularly in the last few years, because it doesn't bode well for the future of our labour force.
Yeah, especially this year, right? COVID-19, many fresh graduates cannot get a job. Anyway, I think her point here is quite pertinent, encouraging more of the self-employed, whether informal in the informal sector, to contribute more to EPF. I think right now the numbers show that less than 10% of 2.7 million self-employed Malaysians actually contribute to ISARA under EPF scheme, and out of that, only 18% contribute consistently. So I think that, you know, more can be done to just encourage them to invest in EPF. But of course, maybe some of these schemes need to be more flexible so that freelancers can withdraw their money as and when they need it.
And on that note, we've got a poll running on Twitter right now. What makes it hard for gig workers and freelancers to contribute regularly to EPF? 14% say income too low, 72% cite irregular earnings, and 11% say lack of awareness. And let us know what you think over on Twitter.
Absolutely, that's at BFM Radio. But up next, we're looking at the COVID-19 impact on 5G rollout in the region with Janice Chong of Fitch Ratings. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.